What I'm going to try to share with you is just simply what's happening in our world. And we know all about it. But things that are happening right now are not just right now taking place. So I want to share with you, and I'm just talking about secular humanistic world. That's one worldview. And then we have the Christian worldview. And this world is always involved in those two powers all the time. And the thing that I want to share this morning with you is one of the things that I can jot down in my mind that I wrote the other day, that one man said, you know, what's happening in our world, we've deified man, we've humanized God, and we glorify sin. And that's where we are. And in the situation we're in the world, we want to look this morning at this one thing that really has not concerned us like we need to. The thing that is on my heart is the fact that how can all these things be going and us not knowing? And so the thing that is on my heart is what God wants me to share with you is the thing that about 1940, people say, sociologists say that about 1940 is when the Judeo-Christian began to move. It became loose, and then World War II. And what happened in all of that was the concept that the church, and I don't mean this in any way, but honestly, the churches began to build and to build. And the thing that happened to us, according to so many Christian leaders, what happened to us in that process of building, we forgot the people. We forgot what Christ was involved in our needs and what we were supposed to be doing. One of the things that I really feel in my heart as we share this morning, the one thing God wants you and me to do is to share Him. Amen? Amen? You know, it's not speaking, it's sharing. You know, when we talk about a witness, that's all it is. Be a witness. I mean, when Christ so many times in Paul moves that for us to be a witness. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I was in the Navy, and I've met a lot of guys since then that we've enjoyed talking together. But, you know, what I think in my heart, that's where I was saved. I was saved in the Navy. And one of the things that was so amazing to me is that when I got saved, it was a very short thing, but I got saved. And you know what? God began to move in my life in such a way that I thought, well, this is fantastic. And it wasn't long till my present wife and I were engaged, and all the things are going really, really great. But you know what happened? One day, one night, I got in my place there at the ship. I was on a destroyer, and I couldn't get up the next morning. And the reason I couldn't get up the next morning, I had contacted and contracted polio. And so here I was in my body. Well, I thought my body was so big, man, I built it up. But all of a sudden, all of that's gone. I was in the bed for nearly a year. And I can tell you right now, I didn't like God because I didn't know what was going on. And they kept saying, you're not going to walk, not going to walk. And I'm just saying this quickly to let you know that God was doing something in my life that was so unbelievable, and I hated it. I didn't like it. My body was down to nothing from that, weighing 120 pounds. I had a doctor, Dr. Sankovic. She was a Polish doctor. Man weighed about 200 pounds, but she could pick me up all over that room. And God just started moving it, and I'm just saying to you today, I stand to you right now because of what God did in a very dark time in my life. And He made me to realize all I need was Him. It wasn't my body, it wasn't my build, it wasn't anything else. It was Him. And so when I want to begin to share with you that the first thing in 1962, the first thing happened in Engle and Weigel. And these men began to read, and it began to creep into our nation because they began to say, you know, what is this thing about praying in school? And it was not long until not only the Supreme Court, but others, they began to say, you know, this is really not necessary in schools. So the first move there began to move away, and all of a sudden, we didn't really understand that. Some people, we're not aware of it, but it took place. And so in that place now, all that time, what an unbelievable thing that happened. Because now the school, where are you going to go? What about the homes? We ought to pray. We ought to pray at school. And they were saying this. They were saying the children want to pray at school, and they want to pray at home, but they're not saying to them anymore, we need to do this. The next thing I'm going to turn with you. The second case was Stone and Graham. And Stone and Graham began to understand that they were truly in great opposite situations. Why? Well, because where they were was where the Ten Commandments were. And they were in Kentucky, and all of a sudden they began to say, and the voice began to say, why are you showing these kids these things? They're going to keep walking by and thinking they ought to live like that. And that was the number one statement. And what happened? They took them down. And all of a sudden we looked around and we saw it for a few times, but it didn't really impact us. What's happening? I've allowed so much in our nation. The beginning of the real full humanistic work was in 1962, in the beginning. Because on the big boards in California, this is what they were saying. The boards were saying this: America is good. It doesn't need God. And many say that was the very beginning that we stopped teaching morality. And here we begin. In all of this in our life, and I want to share this, the one that is to me so strong is the Roe versus Wade in 1963. Babies can't speak. And 2019, do you realize in 2019 that America killed 1.3 million babies, shipping their parts all over the world? And what I'm saying to you, God is not saying to me or to you that we need to go out and yell and scream. That's not what he's saying. Because as I said a while ago, when I have a testimony, I just want to have a testimony. What is it? What God's done for you? That's my testimony. It's not you telling a bunch of things. It's just a testimony. You know, something like this. If I'm getting gas out there at Kroger and the guy's next to me, you know, you know what I always say to this? I say, hey, friend, where you get your church done? And he'll say one thing. I said, well, I'll tell you something. You know, I know it's you got a bit rushed, but I want to just tell you something. That I was saved in the Navy, and I want to tell you, you can't believe what happened to me. It's a great thing in my life, and I hope you'll employ that. I hope sometime. I know we can't go, but just remember this: God will always bring somebody to you that you're seeking, and I really believe that. Just telling somebody what Jesus has done for your life. The world doesn't know that if you don't tell them. And the one thing here, when we look at this, and I weep with what we're talking about. One thing, you know, that has always involved mine is the hour of this day in America. And I began to think with my wife, and I said, well, you know, dear, this has happened all over the world about Christianity. Isn't that amazing? How strong it was. how strong it was in Britain, in England. How strong it was. And it came, and we were so proud, and we were so strong. Right here in East Texas, I looked up over in Carlisle when they were drilling, and I'm telling you, they couldn't build churches strong enough. I had an uncle, T.D. Carroll, that was one of the founders of the church. And those guys had come in their old oil boots and everything, and they'd get around in that church, and you couldn't, it was full. You go to turn the town, it was full. And then something has happened to us. Because we're satisfied with us. And I want to let you know something. God cannot provide strength without you being a witness. Period. I looked at something the other night that was so strong. And I want to share it with you because, you know, whatever God does, it's always for our good. And the thing that I want to read, that in chapter 5, it just says this. God says this. You are the salt of the earth. Do you know what I want to tell you this morning is I believe this is exactly what God's plan for you and me right now. To do what? To be the salt of the earth. What a wonderful concept that is, because the first thing it means, you've got to be permeated. It's got to permeate whatever meat is going to survive, and it'll be survived. And what God is saying, I want you to be so internalized. I want you to understand what salt means. Salt means that it can, in all things, it can heal. It can make things taste better. All things about it. And I want you to be the salt of the earth. But beloved, let me tell you, son or daughter, there's nothing I can do for you if it's not salty. If you don't have anything to share. If you don't understand the sharing of the salt that God has for you and me, to be that sturdy, that strong, that God says it's all. And when I, in my life, I know it's all of Him. It's all of Him. And the second thing is so beautiful to me. What? He's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. You know, what he's saying here, if we really understand it as his children, he wants us to be the light of the world. And what God is saying to you and me, you remember how we used to when old Superman would pull that back like this? What God is saying, I'm going to be in you, but I want you to be what? I want you to be the light. I want them to see me through whom? Through you. Does he see through you? Do you have that appearance and that ability that when you walk and you just feel and you see that in someone? You don't have to yell to them. Be a presence. That's what the Lord always says. I just want you to be a presence. I want you to be available. I want the world to see you. If the world can't see you unless you're the light of it. We can just sit here. But God says, son, daughter, I'm going to make you the salt of the earth. And I'm going to make to you the light of the world. But I can't just use it here. I want you to be, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just remember, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And the thing that is so amazing to me, the song that we were singing, Alan, was beautiful, all of them beautiful, I tell you what. My wife loves that music too. But what I want to say to you in closing is just simply this. If in my heart and your heart, if we're not speaking when you have, when we're not showing what God is in us, how is the world going to be able to know what it's all about? It's changing. It's changing a lifestyle that God really wants me there. Because you realize right now, we've had 21 churches in America burned. We've got one of the dearest friends in my life is Dr. in California. And Rose, California. And he is MacArthur, but John is faced with it. The church came in and worshiped, and they put, and now they're going to cut out everything. They had all the parking lots of a church where there's a church and a seminary, 4,000 or 5,000 every Sunday morning coming into two services. And because they came in and worshiped, now the government is coming in and saying to them, the parking lot that you've been paying for 45 years are no longer yours, and we're giving you a month to move. I hope you know John. Boy, John will say there, and I got a note in what he says there. He says, I want you to know that no one controls God. Not you, not anyone else. I want to tell you, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. It's going to cost that for you and me now. It's not going to be glad anymore. People are not going to be glad to hear it. In fact, most of them, like they're doing right now, and I told Bob that my youngest son is a great, you know, he's been speaking in the public arena for freedom of speech, and he's going to speak in Dallas for the Potorium there, and just pray for him, because, boy, they run. I mean, they ran five people that was speaking last weekend in Dallas, ran them out of town. Man, they were fixing to really rough them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what's happening in the West Coast? And I'm telling you, it's not going to be easy. We can't, you know, what we've got to do, it's not the yelling and screaming, but we've got to stand. Amen. What is your place? I'm a child of God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that God prevails. Amen. And that's where we are. We can't just gow down and say, you know, that really is bad. You know, and we watch news as if that's God. News will craze you. You watch news every night, and you will be a nut. Put it away. Who's in control? God is in control. Now, he might bump up us a little bit, so we're going to turn back to him. But I want to tell you what, don't ever forget who is in control of your life. And the thing that I just say to you this morning is understanding the power that ours in Jesus Christ. Amen? Just think about that. Think how he hovers over us, and every need we have, he'll come and supply it all at one time to everybody. And all he's waiting for you and me is to say, son, daughter, I want to tell you, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you. It won't always be comfortable, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to always be there. And whatever happens in that is going to strengthen you, because you're going to see me working. You're going to see me doing that. You're going to see me, again, reading the Word, reading and knowing how much concern I have for you. And how I love you. And this morning, what I would like to close with is just asking you, if we're going to be the salt of the earth, we've truly got to make ourselves available to God. If you're a child of God, God just says, I want you to really see that. That people, when you really let me see you, is a marvelous thing. And let's don't be timid about saying, living to where they see us. But it's not us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the other thing is just the light of the world. And I wish this morning that we could just, in a presence, just say, Father, I want you to take my life. I've not been really knowing exactly what to do. But Father, I'm willing for you to take my life and so change my life that others will see you in me. And the other thing, to know that God has a program for you and a time for you that in all the salt, it will so permeate you, it will so bring such peace to you. We go, here it is. And now, here's the salt, and here's the light. And I just thought this morning, and I'd like to close this, and what I'd like this morning, if you would stand with me this morning, and this morning, where we are, I would like for all of us just to bow our heads. And it might be kind of stumbling at times, but just saying, Father, teach me more about salt. Teach me how I'm supposed to use it. What an instrument it is for me. Because you want me to be the salt of the earth. And if you want me to be that, Father, teach me. And then, Father, you want me to be the light of the world. I'm not very outspoken. But Father, if you desire for me to so live that the world will see you in me, that's what I want. And this morning, just telling the Father that. Father, I just come before you. What a great experience it's been with the church family this morning. And Father, I pray right now that you're beginning to speak to us, that we're opening our hearts and our minds to you, that we want to be that person that you can live through. People will notice. And Father, we'll praise you for it. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you never forsake us. You would never leave us. And that, Father, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your word. So, Father, thank you this morning. I praise you for letting me share this morning with all of these. And, Father, that today will be our day of letting God not only arrange us so we can see him through us, but with the salt of the world. For these things, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.